All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BKB 33, which goes down on July the 29th, and the BKB British Cruiserweight Championship gonna be on the line as Brad Scott embarks on defending that title against Kevin Greenwood and Great Heaven Brad on the show today. How's everything going there, man?
Mate, it's all good. We're actually having a nice heat wave in England at the moment, so we're hitting, I can't do America. Do you do Fahrenheit or Celsius in Canada?
Yeah, and this would seem like a big one here, just it being the first defense of the title and everything like that. Like, what were the thoughts on, you know, getting this title defense together and getting it in, like, somewhat close proximity to the title winning effort there? Like, how does it feel to, I guess, be embarking on the first defense of the strap here?
Well, it's really good because this is one of the first times in my entire career I've never had to worry about actually making weight, because I'm actually under the weight the max weight category already. I'm allowed to be 101.6 kilograms already, and I'm about 100 now, so I'm not really too bothered. So in terms of training, I can do exactly what I want, and I'm doing pretty well. I'm really enjoying it at the moment.
Yeah, and a lot to get into with this upcoming fight, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on the title winning effort there against Ryan Barrett and just getting the, you know, cruiserweight gold wrapped around you at BKB 31. Like, what were your thoughts on that performance? Like, what were some of the main takeaways from that second round stoppage there?
Yeah, I didn't really get a chance to go into like full savage Brad mode, but it was a good performance. I felt like just as I got the chance to land my jab, started landing punches, started evading punches and countering, he broke his hands, so he couldn't carry on. So I thought the next round would have been really positive in my favour, but I didn't really get a chance to do it, so I was quite gutted. At the same time, I still won the British title, so I was still happy.
Yeah, and how much importance did you derive from that, just being able to, you know, capture British gold in that kind of regard? And it seems like you've had a pretty, you know, quick ascent through what you've been able to do in bare knuckle. Like, what was that moment like? Was there a certain, you know, sense of patriotism that kind of underpinned that, or, you know, what was the mindset in general, I guess?
Fuck, you got some difficult questions, didn't you? No, I just, in all fairness, I didn't even think about it in terms of patriotism and all that. I think you'll find that most times the British people, not so much the British people, but the English people aren't so patriotic until it comes to certain sports. I think boxing is one of them, so, I think my country can have that, but it's mainly, I think you call it soccer. That'd be like the most patriotic the UK actually goes. So England actually gets about anything. I suppose it was the British title, so I'll let you have that one a little bit. I mean, I'm a very patriotic man, but the world's going to be the one that really does it for me. If I win that, I'll be a very happy bunny.
Yeah, I mean, a good accomplishment all the same, though, and it just seems like, you know, like I was saying before, you've really taken to this sport pretty quickly, just, you know, being 2-0 now and just being a champion already and having that, you know, 100% finishing rate. I'm curious, like, what are your thoughts on just this run so far, not even being like a full year into like being a full-time bare knuckle fighter? Like, is there a certain trajectory you see for yourself going forward? I mean, I guess a bit of a two-part question, like thoughts on the journey so far and just where you could see this going in the future.
Yeah, well, I've got a funny story for you. My first bare knuckle, I mean, I don't really count my first bare knuckle boxing battle, but it was a funny story. I was actually, as you do, you get sort of suckered into it. You end up going on Netflix, and then you keep clicking. You actually spend more time searching for your next movie than you do watching Netflix. I was doing that, and I got a message saying, do you fancy having a bare knuckle boxing battle in a few weeks' time? I went, oh, yeah, why not? Let's fucking go for it. And then next morning and all these text messages, turns out I'd accepted a bare knuckle boxing bout and I won it, and I thought, oh shit, well, I've done all. So I had the bout, I won in the second round by KO. I thought, this isn't too bad. Then I looked for the biggest organization in the UK, which is the BKB, and I'd done that, and then within, I think it was 6 months, I went 2-0 and won the title. I mean, I was blessed to get the title because I had an opponent drop out. So getting the title was just like also a little bit of luck. But I've done really, really well. I'm not actually an actual pro boxer as such. My boxing is not bad. I can hold my own against a lot of people. But I think I've done well because I used to fight in MMA gloves, and then I'm not scared of getting hit. So I don't mind being in the pocket and training a little bit, because I've got no fear of being hit, because I've been getting hit by small gloves or no gloves for a long time, and that's worked in my favour.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it was probably like one of the closer representations of the range as well. Like, I feel like that's a thing with people coming from like a, you know, pure gloved boxing background versus an MMA background. Like, I mean, as much as there's like a bit of padding with the MMA gloves, it seems like the 4 ounces are the closest to replicating that bare knuckle range.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the only thing I could think of, unless you actually do that Lithway, which I think is, I can't remember what country it's right next to, is it Burmese Boxing, Lithway or something? That's the only one I could think of that even comes close. I mean, I know that the Travellers or the Gypsies have always done bare-knuckle boxing in the UK, and I know Queensby Rules may have been bare-knuckle back in the day, but I have fought in both gloves and bare-knuckle, and I've fought in MMA. And the scariest one is bare knuckle, because everything stings, and that sounds really, you wouldn't think that fighting stings, you'd say it hurts, but no, it's a really weird sensation. It actually stings, which is a really weird thing to say.
And it seems like there's a certain variable with, like, the, you know, toughness factor. Like, I think some people describe it as like having that dog in them. Like, that seems to carry a lot in bare knuckle. Like, not that, you know, there's not fight IQ and a lot of technique that underpins it, but it seems like the people that have that level of grit and resolve seem to benefit well and thrive in, you know, that kind of sport. And it seems like in some of your previous bouts you have a history of showing off that resolve as well. Like, how much of a variable is that I guess informs the success in bare knuckle?
Yeah, I mean, I think, thank you for saying that, by the way, but I am quite a tough cookie. I don't like losing, and I'm not really scared of getting hurt as such. Not like, I mean, I'm obviously scared of death, but, you know, hopefully there's a place in heaven for me. A nice place in heaven, not one of those shitty council estates or Section 8 housing places you have in Northern America. But I'm hoping that I'm just not really too worried about being hurt. I mean, what's the worst that can really happen? I mean, obviously, there is things that can happen, but in my eyes, the worst that can happen is you get a couple of black eyes and a broken nose. It's not really that much of an issue. Okay, it takes a couple of weeks to get over, but then if you win, you get the glory, and the glory is always going to outcome the pain.
Yeah, for sure, and I guess I'm curious about some of the, you know, recent preparations that you've been getting into ahead of this one, because I was seeing in a previous article, this was a bit before your bid for the British Championship, it was talking about how Nick Blackwell was someone that you were getting in work with, like, at a previous juncture, and it seems like there's been a couple gyms you've trained at over the years. Like, where's the main space you're working at, and who are some of the main, I guess, training partners in this particular camp?
Yes, so that was the first. Sorry, I just knocked a fucking glass over. One second, fuck's sake, me lazy bitch. No, so one of the first boxing guys I used to spar with was a guy called Nick Blackwell. He ended up being the youngest ever English champion, boxing champion. He then went on to win the British Boxing Championship, which, by the way, may not sound a lot to a Canadian and American, but that is a very high fucking level. Very high level, because I don't even know, the British are actually really good at boxing. I don't know how or why, but because we haven't got the, you know, the biggest population in the world, but the British boxing is really, really high level. I think that's also because as a people, Mike Tyson said it the best, like, as a people, the British are very competitive and tough, and we like to scrap, which is really weird, because We go to schools where we play rounders. We do expressive dance. Just to let you know what rounders is, it's a really, try and be politically correct, really wussy way of playing baseball. And expressive dance, I don't need to say anymore, do I? Where we have to go around pretending to be firemen, putting out a fire, but doing it in dance. But at the same time, we also play rugby. I mean, you call it soccer, or we call it, fuck it, we call it football. We're really competitive as a nation. Like, I mean, we always do really well in the Olympics. We always do really well in football. We always do. As a country, I think we punch well above our weights in sports. We're not going to be able to compete with the likes of, you know, normally China, Russia, or America because of our population. But we do really, really well. It's hard to explain. I think we're actually quite tough as a nation.
Yeah, and I mean, like you were saying, I mean, such an indicator of where one's level is at, and there's such a rich history of, you know, fighters out of the UK, just champion caliber practitioners for sure. I mean, so many great belts with, like, the Commonwealth, British Gold, I mean, like, the Lonsdale belts for sure. I mean, that was always something that I gravitated towards as well, because, like, there's some English, you know, lineage in my family too. So, yeah, I definitely get where you're coming from. Just, you know, must be cool kind of being interwoven into all of that, just as you embark on your own combat sports effort. Sorry?
Your English heritage, where's that from in England?
My granddad was from Manchester, and then he came over to Canada when he was, like, a younger man. Just kind of, yeah, came over and started a life here.
Oh, is it where to in Canada are you from?
I'm from the Ontario area. I'm from a place called Oshawa. It's about, like, 45-some-odd minutes outside of Toronto.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure is that never east of the... That's the east coast, east side of Canada, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, Canada's so big. What I mean is from the middle, is the east side. I mean, it's probably, I'm going to say, it's not far away from the sea, but it's probably about a 6-hour drive. Which is amazing, because when I was in America, I was asking them, they like, oh, Las Vegas is not far away. Well, how far away is Las Vegas? Oh, 6-hour drive. Well, I could go from England, from the most southern part of England, all the way to Scotland in that time. I mean, I could actually leave countries, well, not, but I mean, states, in that time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely an interesting, you know, country in that kind of sense, too. Just, you know, being able to, you know, drive around, like, how much land it actually covers and stuff like that. I really noticed that when I was living in Alberta, like, a different province, like, more on the west end of things. Definitely was, like, more, you know, spacious and stuff like that in that regard, too. But, yeah, I found it kind of interesting, like, your arc of being out of MMA for a little bit. Like, it had been around, like, 5-some-odd years. Like, what compelled you to, I guess, return to bare knuckle? Like, did you kind of catch some bare knuckle action and it drew you in and seemed like something you could thrive at? Like, what kind of got you back into combat sports?
Mate, I swear to you now, the reason I got into bare knuckle is because I got pissed up that night and accepted the fight. Pissed up is an English term for getting drunk. Yeah, and yeah. I swear to you, that was I had no interest in it. I got offered many of times BKFC, BKB to do bare knuckle boxing, and I don't know if it was BKB, but I know BKFC approached me to do it. And I had no interest in fighting ever again. And I got pissed up one night with singing to, like, YouTube karaoke, listening to a bit of Dire Straits, you know, a bit of Money for Nothing, all of that. And then I woke up in the morning, and I swear to you, that was the start. I had no interest in fighting ever again. And then after that, I just got hooked. Now I've just been training casually. I mean, I don't train as hard as I did when I was a full-time fighter, because I have a job now. So having a job, a lot of things you do when you train. When I was full-time, my whole life consisted of just training. Now I work, come home, then train. But I still have to put my body through pretty similar shit. And that's the harder part. And that's why, and also I am blessed that BKB is 2-minute rounds. And I thought, well, actually, do you know what? I thought to myself, because BKB is only 2-minute rounds, it should be a walk in the park. Not realizing, because it's only 2-minute rounds, they fight like hell for 2 minutes. You get a minute rest. So it's just as tiring. So, God, give me a fucking break.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool story, though, just the fact that you, like, fell in love with it and just, you know, took to it in that kind of regard. And I mean, it seems like you've got a lot of big aspirations going forward, like eyeing defenses at cruiserweight, and then even world title accolades at heavyweight seem to be something you're kind of eyeing thereafter, like a fight with Dan Podmore and everything. Can you talk about some of the future ambitions? Like, it seems like you're looking to become world champion in multiple divisions from what I can tell.
Yeah, so cruiserweight wasn't my first option. My first option was heavyweight against Podgy Podmore. Potball's actually a really good fighter. He's a fighter's fighter, and what I mean by that is he's fucking hard or tough. I don't know what you're saying, you're part of the world, but he's fucking tough, and he's a real fighter. But I really want to fight and put myself to a test. I think I got his number, but you can never count someone like him out. But I'd like to fight at heavyweight. Also, another reason why I like to fight heavyweight is I can eat what the fuck I want. I can even have your dirty, you know, Canadian golden syrup. What do you call it? Maple syrup. I can have like on pancakes. Yeah. Or I could even be proper Northern American and have pancakes with bacon on top, then golden syrup, and just get a heart attack. It'd be amazing. Yeah. Cause I'd say, do you know what? Talking about, I miss Northern American food so much. I miss it so much. I would live in Arizona training, and the food is so much better than England, unless you live in London, but I don't live in London. The food is so amazing in Northern America. That's my biggest pet peeve with the UK. Unless you live in London, you're not getting this amazing food. I take that back. If you live in Bradford or Birmingham, you get Indian food, which is off the charts. But that's only Indian food. And I've never even tried that in America, Indian food. Maybe someone should go over there from England and put Indian food on the menu. It might even, you know, make a killing. I've never tried that in Canada or America, Indian food. And that's not Native American. I mean, what do you call it, dot feathers? I don't know about the dot Indian food, as in from the country India.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. I definitely enjoy me some Indian food and stuff like that. I'm kind of sorry to hear about your...
One Indian dish...
Sorry?
Name one Indian dish.
I mean, I can get down with a little butter chicken and stuff like that.
Oh, mate, that's not fucking Indian food, butter chicken, for fuck's sake. That's fucking minge patty. That's terrible. I was thinking of a vindaloo, or jalfrezi, or a chicken farl. You know, something with a bit of heat, something a bit nice, something a bit sexy, a bit Indian. They love their spicy food. Butter chicken was probably made just for the English people that don't like spice.
Is that on the menu for after this fight, you're thinking? Like, maybe indulge in a little bit of that, or...?
My girlfriend's granddad was... Well, obviously, this is part of the British Empire. Was born in India. This is when it was obviously, you know, World War II and shit, so it was part of the Empire. When it was the British East Indian... company, so he brought back loads of recipes. My girlfriend's obsessed with Indian food, so I have Indians 2-3 times a week, so I'm blessed. Indian food's my favorite type of food. It used to be Mexican, but I had so much of it in Arizona, I've just stopped. Oh, and in Mexico, I've just stopped. Now I just like Indian food.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of good options there from what you were even kind of indulging. Just kind of interesting to see, because I've seen a couple sort of bare-knuckle journeys that are kind of similar. Like I say, when Alan Belcher was a middleweight in the UFC and then became BKFC's heavyweight champion, and just you being someone that, like, fought Robert Whittaker at welterweight many years ago, just kind of interesting to see this cruiserweight evolution and stuff like that. So how have you been finding being at some of these, like, higher... weight divisions now and stuff like that? I imagine that would alter your, I guess, approach a little bit, like maybe more of like a focus on the, you know, strength part of the preparations, greater gas tank. Like, have you noticed things like that in your favor?
That is actually a really good question, because first of all, me and Alan Belcher, we're about the same size. I've met Alan Belcher a long time ago from a distance. I'd love to get a photograph of him. I think he's a legend. So we are literally about, I think we're even this, I think he might even be shorter than me, but we are the same build. I've noticed that because there's no grappling involved and it's striking, that we don't really care so much about making the weight. We just want to fight what we're comfortable at. And I am not making weight to do bare knuckle boxing. I will make weight to be professional, but I'm not going in the sauna for hours. I'm not, carb depleting myself, taking laxatives and all that dribble for bare knuckle boxing. I'll fight whatever I feel comfortable at. And I think maybe that's why some of us are doing so well.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, just with the MMA pass too, like, I imagine, like, some of these camps have been easier in certain regards, just in as far as, like, not having the wear and tear of the grappling on your body and just being so focused in one sort of lane. But is there any unique differences in your bare knuckle camps? Because I know some guys will kind of go the route of, like, you know, gripping the rice and punching sand and working with, like, the wooden Muay Thai boards. Is there anything like that that you're adding to the preparations, or is it largely, like, stand-up focused work that you would mostly do for MMA?
Glad you said that. So, no, I have been doing some conditioning for my hands, because what I did notice with BKB, in MMA, even though you're wearing 4 ounce gloves, I could have thrown as hard as I wanted within reason, and I wouldn't have broke my hand. Because you had good, even though you only got 4 ounce gloves, underneath that your hands are wrapped professionally. In BKB, your knuckles are bare. That's hence the name. Sorry, one sec. Hence the name, bare knuckle boxing. Your knuckles are actually bare. And I actually asked the hand wrap man, what's the point of even wrapping your hands? And he goes, oh, it's to keep your hands from exploding out the sides. And I was like, oh, what the fuck table says. One sec, mate. How the fuck do I do this? Hello, sorry, mate. My phone rang. Hello?
Oh, hey, yeah, I still got you.
Sorry, but if it happens again, I'll just hang up on him again. He's fucking pissed up and he'd be ringing me all fucking night now about the fight coming up. The joys are selling tickets again, eh?
Yeah, but I do appreciate the time and everything. I guess one last thing I wanted to, you know, briefly touch on, because I was seeing you were having, you know, some issues with it at one point, just your, you know, YouTube channel, the, you know, Fight Perfect channel and everything. It seemed like you got into some... Yeah, I remember you had that How to Street Fight with MMA video and things of that persuasion, like, yeah.
We got a new one out now.
Yeah, have you been enjoying getting back to it? Because, I mean, this wasn't super recent, obviously, but you'd had some issue with, like, there being some sort of strikes on your channel, and you weren't really getting much of an explanation from YouTube. It seems like that's in the past and behind you, though.
Yeah, so we had Fight Perfect, then another The Fight Perfect or something. No, it was Fight Perfect, and we got that one was banned. Then we had Fight Perfect TV, then that one was banned. Then we had The Fight Bible, then that one got banned. And then, you're not going to believe this, same story again. Me and my missus were pissed up watching YouTube, doing karaoke. Lo and fucking behold, one of our old videos come up, and I was like, oh, Joe must know we got the channel back. My missus was nagging me, you know, typical bitch. You know, ring him up. So I rang him up, I rang him up, and then I said, oh, mate, when did you get the channel back? And he goes, what do you mean? I was like, oh, fuck, he doesn't know. I said, the channel's back. And then I heard his missus in the background, Joe, the channel's back. And I was like, shit. So none of them actually knew. So it must have just come back when we were watching it. And then we've filmed like 5 or 6 videos since for the Fight Bible. But it's going to be slow to start off with, but it will pick up. I think we've got 82,500 subscribers. It will pick up. It'll take a while. We've got to start finding time to film. You know what it's like as a content creator. It's really difficult to get the content in a row because I've now moved away. Before, I lived 10 miles from Joe. Now I live 70 miles from Joe. And it's not like in Canada where you've got just one magic highway that takes you an hour to drive down. We've got to go down all these fucking A roads and all the shitty roads. And there's all, because there's a high population thing, but there's traffic fucking everywhere. So it takes me forever to get to him. So we're just trying to put that together now and get some good quality content to come out.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely can be those hurdles, but good to hear that you're back kind of in that lane and stuff like that. Definitely would seem like a great, you know, creative outlet and everything, but it's been great having you on, and, you know, I appreciate some insights you've given me, man. Definitely some good ones, and very much excited for this upcoming, you know, Kevin Greenwood fight and everything like that. I guess just kind of in briefly touching on, you know, him, though, because he had that effort against Lawrence Tracy, the second round finish, and getting that win at BKB 32. Like, what were your thoughts on that effort and just, like, what he brings to the table as a fighter?
Yeah, so I used to train with Lawrence Tracy, Cheltenham Free Fighters back in the day. I think he was more of a grappler I'm definitely a better striker than Lawrence Tracy, but I was looking at Kevin Greenwood's technique. He's a sharp cookie. He may not look in the best of shape, but he's actually a really technical boxer. He's really sharp. He's going to be a tough cookie to crumble. It's hard to fucking explain. He's got a tight guard. When I watched him fight in gloves, he was a lot better than when he fought bare knuckle. But now he's had that experience against Lawrence Tracy, I don't know what to expect. I'm expecting it to be a tough fight. He's a very fit guy, very strong guy. I think I've got the reach and advantage. He's probably got the experience on me. But I'm used to fighting with small gloves. But I think that's going to go a long way.
Yeah, definitely a very compelling fight, and was excited for it when I saw the announcement, but talking to you, definitely getting me more fired up, man, but, you know, in wanting to be mindful of your...
Sorry, mate, it's a bit of American coming out. I was taking the piss, even though you're Canadian, but, I mean, you're only, like, a border apart, so it doesn't matter. First of all, are you allowed guns in Canada? You are, actually. I know you are. Don't know why I said that. When you got grizzly bears and shit in the fucking wild and polar bears up north, you allow guns. Yeah, fair enough. Let you off. I have to ask, because most people in England think that the only people in the world that allow guns are actually Americans, but I forgot. You're like the sensible part of North America that allow guns and you obey the laws. I get a lot of hate for that.
Oh, hell, I'll take that. I think that's a good one.
So polite.
Yeah, I mean, certainly endeavor to...
So fucking over the top polite. I've never met a Canadian that wouldn't lend me his mum to lose my virginity. What's going on? Canadians are so fucking friendly. What's going on? Are you raised that way?
Yeah, just a bit. Always been a part of the cultural sensibility, I suppose.
Yeah, you are the most friendly people in the world. Like, I've never met anyone so friendly as the Canadians. They're like the most... I used to train with a guy called Peter Arbo, and like, the cunt would offer me his pillow and shit. I was like, mate, I'm fine. If you're sleeping on the carpet, I'm on a bed, mate, it's fine. Don't worry about me. He's like the most friendly person in the world. Like, the Canadians are the most friendly people ever. And that's why they would make those movies about you, and it's true, it's a proper stereotype. You've earned it. Same as the British not pronouncing their T's.
Yeah, well, glad you've had good experiences with the Canadians over the years. And yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, try to be polite and everything like that. But you've been really good with your time, man. I'm just curious, though, if there's maybe any, like, final parting thought you'd want to add as we're kind of wrapping things up here, Brad.
Well, it's going to be kill or be killed in 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time, so kill or be killed. I've had enough talking shit. I've had enough training now. Just go in there, get it done, shake hands at the end. I enjoy a good scrap. I think he's a good scrapper. Unfortunately, there will be blood. I don't like blood if it's from them. I don't like that dicky shit on my skin, but it's tough titties. If it's my blood, I'd be a little bit less impressed. So I'm not too bothered, but we are both going to go out there. We're both going to throw down. And the better man, I think I'm the better man, will come out on top and retain the title, and then going to fight Podgy Podmore for his title.
There's a lot going on with this fight.
Podgy in England means fat. He's not even fat, though, in the slightest. I just thought I'd whiten him up a little bit and call him Podgy, because it rhymes with Podmore a little bit.
Yeah, sneaking in a couple little verbal jabs, I definitely dig it, but there's a lot of great potential in the future, but a lot going on with this fight at BKB 33, and I appreciate you, you know, again, making some time to chat before the fight, man. You have a good rest of your day, Brad, and thanks for the time.
No, mate, it's night time, mate. What time is it where you are?
It's about 3:30 where I'm at right now, so I guess you're wrapping up for the day.
Oh, no, we're going to go get another bottle of wine and watch Stranger Things.
Awesome, well, I won't keep you from that.
I'm taking the piss, mate. I'll be going to bed in about an hour's time. I'm an old man now. I watch Stranger Things. I'm not a fucking nonce. We're going to watch a few little things on Netflix, and I'll be crawling myself to bed by about 10 o'clock, mate. I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm only 34, but I feel fucked. My body's aching. But at least I've kept my technique, my old fruit. Do you know what I mean? At least I kept my old fucking technique.
Yeah, no doubt. I kind of feel that in my own regard, but I won't keep you from that any longer. You have a good one there, man, and yeah, looking forward to this fight. Thank you.
Cheers for that, mate. You're a star. Thank you so much. Right, have a good night. No, good day. Good day. Have a good day. Watch out for the polar bears and grizzlies. Get your gun out. Cena bit me all through. Have a good day, mate. Cheers for the interview. Thank you very much.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BKB 33, which goes down on July the 29th, and a very intriguing fight with the BKB British Cruiserweight Championship on the line as Brad Scott takes on Kevin Greenwood. And great getting to have Kevin on the show. How's your day going there, man?
Well, sorry, Dylan, are you breaking up there?
Oh, I was just asking how your day's been going so far.
Yeah, day's been going good. I woke up nice and early. I was in the gym at 5 o'clock this morning, doing pads and sparring. Was in there a nice couple of hours and went and had breakfast. Started work down at my own gym from 8 o'clock this morning. And just finished now. So I've done my own training at the start of the morning. Working out for everyone else. Had another little small workout myself. And then just finished.
Yeah, and it seems like you've just had a whirlwind run so far in this sport, just with you contending for a British title in your sophomore fight. What was the thought when this opportunity initially came your way, like when the bout announcement, or the bout agreement rather, kind of came your way? I think you'd be pretty ecstatic.
Sorry, say that again, Dylan.
Just like the feeling contending for like a British title in your sophomore bout, like is it kind of a whirlwind sort of experience?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I didn't expect, after just one fight being, contending for the British title, I'm over the moon by it. Do you know what I mean? the opportunities that have been given to me, I'm really happy about it. But yeah, I definitely didn't expect it because in glove boxing, it takes at least sort of like 10, maybe even sometimes 15, 20 fights before you get to even looking at any titles. So given the opportunity now, for a British title, I'm over the moon with it. You know what I mean? I really am.
Yeah, and I was noticing you have a glove boxing background with around 11 pro bouts, and I guess I have a couple questions in that regard, because like obviously in gloved boxing it's a bit of a different structure. Like I find in bare knuckle they really give people the opportunity to assert themselves as the A side, and this kind of seems like it's rooted in that as well. Like, have you kind of noticed that with bare knuckle, like maybe there's more opportunity for fights of this caliber, I suppose?
Most definitely. I mean, look on it is, it's a tough man's sport. First off, I think they wheel it down to, you've got to be made of something else to compete in it. These guys are solid. Do you know what I mean? They're not gun shy. They're not scared of getting hit. Everyone's got to have like a nice solid chin and be durable. There's no sort of, what I can say, there's no sort of sense of favouritism or anything like that. If you want to be the best, you get the opportunities. For what I've been looking, these guys being, two, three fights, they're getting title shots in there, and it's like a sort of like, almost like a winner stays on sort of thing. Like the strong survive. So yeah, it's definitely, I believe there's a lot more opportunities to showcase, your talent in the bare knuckle scene.
And I was noticing you returned to combat sports in general after close to like a decade long hiatus. Like, what was it about bare knuckle or just the general opportunity that enticed you to get back to competing and all?
To be honest with you, I split up with my wife of 8 years, sort of October last year. During that time of being inactive, I put on a bit of weight. I didn't really train that much, and there was always something missing. And I needed, after that happening to me, I needed to get my head into something. So I just started training again. I'm in the gym 12 hours a day anyway, so I just started little by little training again. And obviously where I've competed before, as soon as you get to a certain level of fitness, like, okay, I want to compete again. Do you know what I mean? So as soon as I started to feel fit and spar again, I thought, well, okay, I want to compete. So I had a couple of unlicensed glove bouts, and I applied for my British sort of a pro boxing license again. But they looked at me as, I'm 40 years old now, Dylan, so they said that they sort of deemed me too old and why I'd been inactive for so long. And where I was, I was up for competing, someone said to me, "Why don't you try the bare knuckle thing?" And I said, "Well, I wouldn't know where to start." And I got introduced to the right people. And next thing I was set to go within like sort of 4 weeks of talking to Jim and Joe. I was set and matched up 4 weeks down the line for the BKB. So yeah, I believe everything happens for a reason. And one door shut and the next one open for me, and I'm just gonna go as far as I can with it.
Yeah, and briefly just wanted to touch on that, BKB debut. Like, it seems like a pretty, comprehensive finish from what I could tell, at least, just getting that second round stoppage in May there. Like, what were your main takeaways from that Lawrence Tracy fight at BKB 32?
The main takeaways from it was really, at my age, because I've always believed, the older you get, sort of your punch resistance tends to diminish, do you know what I mean? So I was happy with, I could still hold a punch, I could still take a punch, I could still think on the spot, sort of, the spark was still there. And where Lawrence comes at you, so he's so ferocious when he's coming forward, it didn't give me much time to think. So I was still able to sort of think on the spot and find calmness in the chaos. And once I sort of, I think it was a right hook I caught him with first, which sort of switched his legs off. And once that happened, I thought, right, okay, now we've found, we found like sort of chink in the armour. We've got something to work with now, and just sort of kept on that. So yeah, it was. I took a lot away from that fight, and if going to the next fight, I'm definitely going to pick my shots a bit better, because he is tough on the hands. Do you know what I mean? You can't just sling and, just sling them out there. You can with gloves on. Like, you've got to sort of pinpoint really where you're hitting and what part of your hands are. So I'm going to take that into the next fight.
Yeah, for sure. As you kind of talk about that, because there's a bit of a binary I've noticed talking to fighters about, hand strengthening and stuff like that. Like, some people will have certain tactics, like working with like the wooden Muay Thai boards and like gripping sand and stuff like that. But then there's other people that are kind of like, whatever, I've been fighting for X amount of years, my hands are, plenty solid as it is. Like, where do you kind of sit in that binary there?
Yeah, I want to be completely honest with you, Dylan. I've got hands like biscuits. You know what I mean? So, when I used to fight with gloves on, I'd have terrible trouble for a few weeks after. This fight wasn't too bad. I felt a bit of knuckle bruising on my left hand. But again, parts of my hand, if I'd have been hitting with the correct, the two strongest sort of main knuckles, then I think it would have been a lot better. So, it's just learning little different things as I go. But yeah, for me, it's just a case of protecting my hands as much as I can throughout training, so that they're 100% on fight night, and then just dealing with it after the fight. Because I did have some swelling, and it probably took a good 4 or 5 weeks before I could start hitting things strong again.
And does like the way you curate camp differ at all between the two sports, or is bare knuckle as you prepare in the training largely similar to how you've approached, preparing for glove boxing fights?
Yeah, I mean, see with me, because it was completely new, and to be honest with you, I didn't even really watch it too much before, until I got, booked to fight. And then is when I started to watch it. And I spoke to a few other sort of like bare knuckle coaches. So I just kept, for the first fight, I kept everything the same, just as if I was going to train for a gloved bout. And I was just, my plan was just to try and box without my gloves on, and adjust on the go. So where it worked this last time, I'm just going to, if it's not broke, don't try and fix it. So I'm just going to stick with the game plan. As long as I'm fit and strong, I can evolve on the spot, then whoever's in front of me is going to be in trouble. So for me, a camp is exactly how I would usually train, because I know it works. I know it works for me, and it gives me the best sort of fitness and grit on what I need on fight night.
And it looks like you're looking to concurrently be active in both sports too. Like, at least it was seeing that per box rec, like it looked like you had a title fight lined up for the fall, like a German international heavyweight title fight. Is that the case? And if so, can you kind of talk about that a bit? Because that sounds like an exciting return to Queensbury rules there.
Yeah, I mean, so what happened there? I mean, was I was in a sort of like lost period when the pros sort of the British pros said they wouldn't give you a license, but then I can box overseas, I can box over the water. Do you know what I mean? So, and at that point, I hadn't really established anything. And then when I had this fight book with Lawrence Tracy, then the fight in Germany popped up, like the glove fight. So I thought, yeah, I'll take that. But then now, the British title fight got given to me sort of a week after the Tracy fight. So with me, I'm going to be boxing that in Germany for the German title. But I'm not even thinking about that. In my world now, where I am, that's booked, that's happening. Do you know what I mean? As long as my legs will carry me. But in my head, there's nothing. All there is Bradley Scott and the British Championship. That's all I can see. I've got tunnel vision at the moment. But you know, once that is booked to happen, and that will happen. But for me, I'm not overlooking this. This is just that's something else. You know, in the future. But for me, all I'm working on is Bradley Scott and that British title.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely understand the sentiment. I guess I'm curious to get some specifics as to like what that tunnel vision looks like. Like, are you a guy that's immersing themselves in a lot of tape study and everything like that? Was this someone you were already aware of, so you kind of had a foundational knowledge for this fight already? Like, I'm kind of curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, see what I've done for the Tracy fight was, I don't look too much on there. There's a lot of footage out there on opponents, isn't there? So I'll have a quick look. I'll watch a couple of fights, like the latest fights they've had, and I'll see for any repetitions. And if there's things that are repeating and things they like to do, I'll work with them. Do you know what I mean? And look for counters and how to deal with them. And also, I just want a visual presence in my mind of them being in front of me, because what I do then is I'll immerse myself as if I'm having this fight, and I'll go over certain things that I want to do to them over and over and over again, and then I'll do things that I think they're going to try and do to me, and I'll go over that in my mind. So then by the time I get to fight night, I've already had this fight 100 times. That worked for the Tracy fight. I was very calm because in my mind I'd already been there. Do you know what I mean? I'd gone over so many different things that could happen or that I wanted to happen. So by the time I got there, I was nice and relaxed. And you know, I believe that once you visualise things like that, your mind's ultra sensitive and picks up on anything. Do you know what I mean? And you react to it a lot quicker. And so yeah, that's what I tend to do. I immerse myself with one person at a time. So I've got that visual of Bradley Scott now, and I spend, you know, half hour, an hour every day just going over certain things in my own mind. Actually, throughout the day in spells, but then there'll be a dedicated like half hour, an hour before I go to sleep. That I'll just be going over things in my mind that I'd like to get off, or things I'd like to counter.
Yeah, for sure, in a very intriguing fight, for sure. I mean, just taking on someone who's a former UFC veteran and seemingly has established themselves quite quickly, too. We were talking about how you took well to the sport and have kind of catapulted to this opportunity. And, I mean, Bradley Scott, not a great deal different in that sense. I mean, he does have the pair of stoppages at this point, and yeah, former UFC welterweight, now a surging cruiserweight. And when I was talking to him yesterday, it seemed like he was eyeing the heavyweight title too. Like, what are your thoughts on, you know, his resume overall and some of the stylistic traits you may have seen in game planning for him?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's got a good resume. He's been in UFC. You know, you've got to be something to be there. He's already looking at sort of heavyweight titles. I hope he's not overlooking me, because he's you know, he's going to have to do his best to hold onto that belt. But the with me, like, these are the fights I want. I want to slay dragons, Dylan. Do you know what I mean by that? I don't want to be... this is what I love about the BKB. is good talent. And you've got to be, you know, to be consistent, you've got to beat good talent. Do you know what I'm saying? And for me, this is the perfect fight for me. I believe that every one of these fights probably takes about 5 years off your life. Do you know what I mean? So, like, you might as well fight these guys for something. You know, you might as well fight the top guys or the guys with a good resume, because when I beat Bradley, you know, I've beaten a former UFC veteran, a British champion. Do you know what I'm saying? I want to slay dragons. I don't want to be fighting guys that my friends in the audience could say, oh, do you know what, I could fight him. Do you know what I mean? I want these sort of these guys with the big resumes, because I'm building my own.
Yeah, I mean, undoubtedly. I'm just curious because you've kind of used language of a certain ilk throughout how you've been talking, like almost like legacy-minded kind of talk, or maybe goal-oriented is perhaps a better way to phrase it. I'm curious, like, specifically what, you know, goals you have within this sport. Like, you were talking about taking on big names and slaying dragons and things of that persuasion, but do you have certain, like, specifically defined goals as far as certain opponents or championships you'd like to capture in this endeavor?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm looking to build a legacy. Do you know what I mean? When my girls, my little daughter, when she's old enough, I want to be proud of daddy. I want to fight the best. I want to win this championship, this British title. I want to win a world title. I'd love to come over to the US and fight there and fight the top guys over there. This is what I'm looking for. I'm looking to continuously, you know, level up. And be up there with the big names, be a recognisable name. That's my goal is to be, you know, have the accolades, have that championship attached to my name, and you know, I want to fight the best. I'd love to come over to the US and fight. I'd love to go over to all different countries and fight the best guys. That's the goal.
I guess just talking about that, because I've talked to a few, you know, BKB fighters who've very much become, I mean, understandably so, excited about the cross-promotional dynamics with BYB Extreme. Is that something you'd like to see yourself kind of immersed in at some point too, like to the point of traveling for fights, like maybe go to the States and fight a champion caliber fighter with BYB?
That'd be awesome. Well, you know, what an honor that would be to be asked to do that. You know, to represent England and go over to the States and fight, you know, one of the guys from BYB or even a champion. That would be awesome. You know, that's where I want to be. You know, sort of, you know, those big fights. I love being like, you know, the underdog or the away fighter. You know, I believe I was the underdog in the Lawrence Tracy fight, and I believe I'll probably be the underdog in this British title fight. So that's when I get the best out of myself, when I've got challenges in front of me, like to go over to the US and fight an American guy in his own country. For me, it'd be amazing.
Yeah, it just must be especially satisfying because you've got so much experience in Queensbury rules boxing, as I alluded to, but also karate and unlicensed boxing, so it must be especially gratifying to be at a point in your career now where it seems like you're thriving and able to take these big fights and kind of keep ascending in the hierarchy and all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been doing combat sports where people stood in front of me throwing punches at me since I was 7. You know, I mean, I'm 40 now, so 37 years experience in different kind of combat sports. I just want to, you know, where I'm at now, you know, at 40 years old, who knows how many fights I've got left in me. So if I can keep ascending and keep pushing while my body's, you know, fit and healthy enough to do that, you know, to get to those sort of levels where you're going, you know, you're on a plane going to another country to fight the best there, that's where I want to be. And that means this last 37 years meant something. It paid off. Do you know what I mean? It hasn't been like 37 years of doing a hobby. It's been 37 years of cracking away all the blood, sweat and tears and time away from family and things like that. It all pays off then. Do you know, when you're doing stuff like that and you're getting title shots and challenges overseas. So for me, yeah, just keep on ascending, but, you know, staying hungry and keep climbing.
Yeah, I mean, I love to hear that. And it seems like, you know, you've got a great story in general. Like, I was kind of doing my research on you, and it seems like your mom was a massive inspiration and continues to kind of drive you. Like, just her being a woman police officer and single parent in the 80s. And kind of seems like it sort of developed a bit of a foundation with fighting, just in mentioning in one of the interviews that you used to watch, like, Steven Seagal and Karate Kid movies. Are we expecting the mom to be repped on the shorts in this next BKB effort as well?
Oh yeah, see, mum's always on the front of the shorts, you know. So I've got mum on the front of my shorts, and I've got Ella on my little girl's name on the back of my shorts. And you know, touching on what you said, you know, she was a female police officer in the '80s. So you're going back there, you know, women didn't really get a fair crack at much. So she would have, you can sort of put into perspective what sort of a strong character that she was. And she raised me on her own as well, when I wasn't exactly a walk in the park to bring up, do you know what I mean? I had my own problems. So she done really well, and she always had my corner. She was the mum and dad in the family, so she pushed me. She took me to karate. We used to sit down and watch, you know, these old action movies together, like the Karate Kid and the Steven Seagal movies, and it sort of built my character. And where sort of I buried my head in comic books and watch action movies, I didn't really realise till later when I was living with a real life superhero. Do you know what I mean? She was going out, and you know, playing like Batman every night at work. So it's, I really do, her sort of influence on me, I really am appreciative of. So I mean, I was lucky to have such a strong woman to bring me up, and you know, and that's any chance I get, I like to sort of to talk about that and to sort of pay homage to her in every fight. She was very supportive, very, very supportive.
Yeah, that was something she always kind of was like fully behind you, like was going to the fights, something that was kind of something she did, or was it just make sure you tell me after that you're okay kind of thing? Like, how did all of that go?
Yeah, I mean, when I was doing the karate, she was always there because I was only young, and she was always at all the tournaments. When I started to box, she never came to watch me box live, but I'd always bring her back the DVD and a poster. And photos and things like that. But yeah, she always, you know, she was always like, go get them, son. And it was only ever positive. She was so positive. Do you know what I mean? She was, you know, of course I'm her son, so she's going to say to me, oh, you're the best and things like this. And everything I ever had out of her mouth was positive. There was never any, oh, what if this happens, Kev, or be careful. There was nothing like that. She was like, yeah, go get them, Tiger. Do you know what I mean? Like, go do your thing. She was, mega supportive.
Yeah, well, that's great to hear, and it's been a great career so far through your efforts and, you know, like, your call on getting back to Indigo at the O2 arena here, so it seems like there's been some great chapters so far, and obviously many more to come, but, you know, definitely appreciate you coming on the show and making some time, Kevin, but I want to be mindful of your time and schedule, too, so is there any final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, man?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. Thanks for having me, Dylan. Do you know what I mean? The new sort of exposure has given me even more sort of confidence and you know, and the will to do my best. And I just want to say, you know, hello to everyone over there in the US. And hopefully I'll get to come over and showcase my skills there in the future.
Yeah, a lot of exciting prospects for the future, and I mean, certainly that next chapter of everything very much residing on July 29th, and this should be a great, you know, Cruiserweight Championship fight against Brad Scott at BKB 33, so thanks so much for making the time to talk and everything ahead of such an important British title fight, man, and just, yeah, you have a good rest of your day, and thanks for the time.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Dylan. God bless you, mate.